This week on Morning Edition, we've been talking with two men who grew up in prison. They were sentenced to life for crimes they committed when they were juveniles, but they became eligible for parole after court rulings said automatic life without parole sentences for juveniles are unconstitutional. Joining us to talk further about this is attorney Barbara Cabin. She's former director of juvenile appeals for the state's public defender agency. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the two men we spoke with, 52-year-old Greg Diachenko and 41-year-old Joe Donovan, were both sent to jail at age 17 for murder. They are now out on parole and trying to find their way. Here is a little bit of what Greg Diachenko told us. Let's listen.
I need to stay focused on my future, you know, and try to do good things in the community. I'd love to be able to give something back and prove to people that I'm not the monster that a lot of people made me out to be.
Barbara Cabin, what do we know about the effects of incarceration, especially long-time incarceration, on young people?
Unfortunately, very little. We know that this particular cohort of individuals that are now getting out on parole grew up in prison, and that means that they had to transition from the adolescent who was basically somewhat oppositional, violated the law, obviously did a horrendous crime, but is now trying to figure out what their role is as an adult. And some of them had more opportunities in prison than others, depending on the facility in which they were in. Some of them have more education under their belt than others. But we really don't know a lot about them. And that's part of this whole process that's happening across the country right now. Because when the Supreme Court determined that juveniles can no longer be sentenced to die in prison, we now have a process that says they have to have a meaningful opportunity for release based on demonstrated maturity and rehabilitation.
So, Massachusetts, do we have sort of any kind of guidelines or definition of meaningful release?
No, actually, we don't. That was the phrase that was used in the court decisions, and the courts have not taken it any further to determine what does it mean to be mature when you're in prison? What does it mean to be rehabilitated in prison?
What about psychologically? I mean, you've worked with these folks for a long time. Maybe there isn't research to suggest what might happen to someone who grows up in prison, but I'm wondering what you think.
I guess for me, when I think about it and some of the young men that I've gotten to know, I'm struck by their resiliency. It's an amazing tribute to the human spirit that even in that environment, people grow and change and mature and manage to find a way to be productive citizens.
Both of these men are on parole for life, although Joe Donovan is appealing that. Donovan says that one thing that he's really concerned about is that his record could make it more likely that he would end up back behind bars. So he really avoids any kind of interaction with crowds or the police because he's nervous. Let's hear what he had to say.
There's just such a possibility of it turning in such a bad way, even an innocent situation. You know, I'm on paper as a murderer. If they look it up, right? If they run my name, it's a murderer out. And so, like, they're not going to look at the background story. The way they're going to look at it is he's a murderer on parole.
That sense of vulnerability is real, and I think that it's an appropriate concern in that he carries that mantle with him. They all do. And when you violate parole, it could be a technical violation. It doesn't even have to be a new crime, and you could be brought back in. And it's not a situation where it goes back into court. One of the problems for a lot of the guys is one of the violations is basically fraternizing with other convicts. Mm. But when you think about it, that's been their peer group for so many years, and frequently it's other convicts that have the information to say, listen, this is how you make it in the community.
Both Greg Diachenko and Joe Donovan talked about how difficult it was to find a job. Both of them only got custodial jobs because they knew someone. They said they have no work history, obviously. They've got a criminal record. They've got a lot of blemishes that make it hard for them to move forward. What do you think should be done to help with reentry in these cases?
We have to really develop rehabilitation programs. Our prison facilities do not provide any job skill training. And the way the system has been working up until now, this population could not step down to minimum security or pre-release programs where there's more opportunity to develop vocational skills that might get them better prepared for real jobs. We don't have the services in place. There are not enough reentry programs. There are not enough reentry beds. We have guys getting out that don't have families available to them, that really don't have a place to live.
But overall, you're optimistic about these two men that we spoke with, do you think?
Yes, I am. I'm optimistic about the group as a whole because they recognize how fortunate they are. They do not want to make any mistakes. And, you know, what we do have research on is the recidivism rate of murderers in general. In general, murderers have the lowest recidivism rate of any criminal cohort, and juvenile murderers have an even lower rate of recidivism.
Barbara Caban, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.